Good morning. Can y'all hear me?
Oh, cool. All right. Well, like Rusty said, my name is Mark Sizemore. I am at Howard Payne, and I work here with Rusty, and we have a lot of fun. Sometimes we do weird things. All the youth are up there in the back in the balcony, so shout out to them. They're pretty cool. They made fun of me before I came up here that I was going to say, like, all right and cool a lot. So we'll see if they're correct. They probably will be, but that's okay. So, as we're starting. So last week was Easter. I hope y'all knew that, because a lot of y'all were here, if I recognize you. But, so David talked about Matthew 28, the story of Jesus' crucifixion, and there's a really cool verse at the end of that chapter that I bet most of you know. It's the Great Commission. And so Jesus is speaking. He's about to ascend into heaven, and he tells everybody to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Pastor David hit on that last week, just that that's our goal as Christians, is to go, therefore, make disciples. And everyone always says that, but it's like, that's such a confusing word. Make disciples, go, what does that mean? And so this morning, I want to look at like what that means. What a not scary way of doing that is, because everyone reads make disciples, and it's like, oh, that's kind of terrifying. How do I go, therefore, and make disciples? Like, I don't know how to do that. That's not a practical thing that we say in today's language very often. And so, I want to look at an example of the apostles, Peter and John, namely, in Acts 4. And so, they were with Jesus. They were two of his 12 disciples. They were walking with him. They knew Jesus super well. And so if we're going to take advice from Scripture, which we should, they're a good pair to look at when it comes to making disciples, because they do it in such a way that makes sense and in a way that isn't, like, scary. So we're in Acts 4. This is Peter and John. They got arrested because in the previous chapter, they were walking along, and they're walking into the temple, and Peter and John look over, and they see this guy, and he's a lame man, and he's begging for money so he can, like, survive, buy food, eat, and that kind of stuff. And so when Peter and John get to him, this is in chapter 3, verse 6, Peter says, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So, like all great biblical miracles, the man, he gets up and he walks, and he's, like, praising Jesus and all this awesome things. And everyone's super excited, except for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they're mad that they're kind of losing, like, their place in society. They're like, oh, what's going on? And so they're kind of annoyed. And then Peter and John, Peter being Peter, has to make them even more mad, just in, like, his little, like, fiery disciple way. So they're in Solomon's portico, which is basically this porch in the temple. And he says this crazy, really awesome thing. And you called the author of life, whom God raised from the dead, to this we are witnesses. And you killed, I'm sorry, I read wrong. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead, to this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees are not very happy at this, obviously. Peter has just basically told them, you know this guy Jesus that he loved people well, he served people, he raised people from the dead and raised people that were lame to walk. Yet that guy, you killed him. And the Pharisees and Sadducees are just like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And so they're obviously not happy. And so that's where we pick up in chapter 4, looking at they'd just been arrested. Peter and John are arrested, they're in prison, and they're about to go before a court, basically, of Sadducees and Pharisees, so basically Jewish officials. And the Jewish officials are just trying to figure out some way to, like, stop this from spreading, because that's what they did with Jesus, crucifying him, was just to stop this new Christianity from spreading. And so they're doing the same thing to Peter and John. So if we look in verse 1 of chapter 4, I'm going to start reading. So, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. All right, so we're going to stop there and just look at this, because this is such a cool thing. So when Peter and John, we read these words, and they're super powerful, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is such a great description of Jesus and of just the gospel summed up into words. And we're always like, oh, I wish I could say things like that. But Peter and John, if we look in verse 13, the Pharisees and the elders, they noticed, first off, that they're uneducated and common men. I mean, these guys were fishermen, and they didn't really go to school much. They learned how to, like, count and how to do business transactions. But that's basically all they knew in terms of, like, education that we would call today. And then they were common men, so they weren't, like, Pharisees or scribes or anyone, like, important in Jewish society. But the thing that set them apart from everyone around them was the fact that they were with Jesus and that they were bold in how they spoke. That's just, I mean, as we're looking, like, how do we tell people about Jesus? It's very simple in that we're just obedient to the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, because we know that two chapters before this chapter, that Pentecost happened and Peter and John and all the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were preaching and they were just doing these wondrous signs through the Holy Spirit, through that obedience that they had in him. And that's when we're looking in the verse 8, where he says, "Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit." Like, this isn't Peter that's talking. This isn't his words or anything that he learned. This is the Holy Spirit and Peter's obedience to the Holy Spirit in that his words were being spoken. And that's what made these high priests and these people so fired up, because they're like, oh gosh, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. They didn't recognize that. They were kind of hardened and they didn't want to see the Holy Spirit. But that's who they were hearing, and that's how Peter and John were such powerful speakers. Wasn't because they were apostles or because they were people that walked with Jesus for so long. It was the fact they were obedient to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's still alive and working in us today. I mean, these people have probably been with Jesus for about 3 years at this point. They've probably seen Jesus before, like his active ministry is a ministry that we see in the Gospels. But these people hadn't known Jesus for much longer than a lot of us have. I mean, if we were saved at a young age, we could have easily been walking with Jesus for, I think, what, I'm 19, so 13 years for me, and just, that's a lot more than 3. And I know that some of you probably have even longer than 13 years, so just the amount of knowledge that we know about Jesus and the amount of time that we've experienced the Holy Spirit, we have such a great reserve and well to draw on of that power that he has for us to be able to speak with, to speak to people. It's such an awesome thing. And so we're going to keep reading, because we're about to get to one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Little throw that out there. So starting back, I'm going to read verse 13 again and then go through the end of 22. So now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. All right, that was a lot of words in a short amount of time. But I just want to read 19 and 20 again, because they're such fun verses. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." So Peter and John, they aren't, I mean, like, this is going off of 13, the fact they're uneducated common men. They've been with Jesus, and that's what they had seen in her for the last 30 years. I mean, Peter, it wasn't like a newfangled idea to tell this guy to get up and walk. He had seen Jesus do it numerous times. He was just like, well, I know that Jesus is told people to get up and walk, so I'm going to try it and see what happens. And so he told the guy, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I tell you, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And he did. So, I mean, Peter and John, whenever they're doing all this crazy speaking and things that we read about in Acts, and we're like, wow, how can we do something like that? That's all of our goals and desires, is to speak like profound, eloquent words like in Jesus' name, and to see people be saved and to see people have a relationship with him. And it's always like this crazy, like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what, like, how did the apostles do it? And it's not like a big crazy formula or anything. It was very simply just obedience to the Holy Spirit and speaking about what they had seen and heard and experienced with Jesus. This word that they say, we cannot but speak. So there's this crazy word in the Greek, and it's the same word that we get like dynamic or dynamite from. It's like a really powerful, like a powerful word. And so when they say we cannot but speak, they're basically saying that they are powerless, like they are unable to not speak about Jesus, because he's such a person that they love so much and a person that they've experienced so much with, that it's like that's just a part of their day. Like they're walking along and they see a friend and they're like, hey, how are you doing today? Let me tell you about Jesus, because that's the only thing they can do. Like, they don't know anything else. The last 3 years of their life, all they've done is spend time with Jesus and walk with him and see him raise people from the dead and see him feed 5,000 people and heal a bunch of people. I mean, it's just such a thing that they are indwelled with and absorbed with is just Holy Spirit and Jesus, and that's all they can talk about. And so we saw these things, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome, Mark. They were obedient to the Holy Spirit. They told people about Jesus. But how do I do it, like, in my day? Like, how do I walk into my coworker when we're standing around, like, the water thing, getting water because we're thirsty or whatever? How do I do that? And so I want to hopefully give you an idea. There's this super cool thing I learned in class with Rusty. It's called the best gospel presentation ever. So, Rusty, I'm going to need you to come up here and help me out for just a few seconds. Give a hand to Rusty. He's so excited. Yeah, so, the best gospel presentation that is ever been made or ever been created is very simply just a person, just a transformed servant of Christ, a child of God. That's the best gospel presentation we can have. As we walk and we talk to people, we can just tell stories about, like, oh, this crazy thing happened at church on Sunday. This 19-year-old kid was up there talking to us about Jesus. Just little things. Thanks, Rusty. Gospel presentation. Good job, Rusty. So that's the best gospel presentation. It's not, there are other ones. They're like the three circles of the Roman road, but I've always found it super awkward if I'm sitting there like at my desk doing work, and then I look over to my friend like, hey, you want to hear about Jesus? Let me pull up my Bible and like look through Romans with you. Like, yes, that's something that we can do, and there's a time and a place for that, but it's like when you're at work and you're trying to do your work, it's really simple to have a quick conversation about something that happened on Sunday, or whenever you were at Sunset Terrace giving lunches to people in their homes, you can tell them a little story and like, oh, why'd you spend your Saturday, a couple hours of your Saturday doing that? It's just because they wanted to love on people because of the love that Jesus has given us. And so it's such a simple thing, not going up to people and like proclaiming Jesus' word straight from the Bible. Like, yes, that's good and there's a place for that, but it's not always the best option. It's very simple to just tell someone about your day and tell them about what Jesus has done for you, even that morning or that the night before. And so that's like my, what I really wanted you to understand today or to get out of this wasn't the fact that Peter and John are uneducated men or that they cannot but speak about Jesus or what they've seen and experienced with him, but that we, like, we're the same. We have the same Holy Spirit in us. They had him in like 34 AD or something. We have him in 2021. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. He's present through all of that time. He's the same now as he was then, and the same then as he is now. So as ever, as we experience the Holy Spirit and we're obedient to that, we can have the exact same outcome. Like, it's not like the Holy Spirit's changed at all. He's eternal. He's eternal. So I don't know the omni for that one, but he is eternal, and he knows what what people need. So as we're being obedient to the words the Holy Spirit has given us to say, a little story about like BBS or something like that that you've experienced in your life, it's always a fun story. Like, church stuff is never really that boring. We don't really do a whole lot of boring things, especially if you're in youth ministry. We do a lot of weird things. And those are a lot of really fun stories you can tell people. And you can tell people the reason why you did it is because of Jesus and the love that he has for people. And so that opens up a lot of conversations. And that's a lot of what Peter and John did. That's a lot of what the apostles did. They just went about, like it says, go. The word in the Great Commission that says go is this a word that can connote while going. So basically, while they're going about their daily lives, while they're going about what they do, they're just supposed to tell people about Jesus and tell them about what he's done for them and that kind of thing. And we're always like, oh, the Great Commission, how do we make that like ours? Like, we're always told, like, make scripture your own, really internalize it and do it. And this is how Peter and John internalized the Great Commission. They heard Jesus say, go make disciples. And so they're like, well, we don't know exactly what that means. We know what Jesus has done for us, and he basically just told us about himself and about God and the Father and all that good stuff. So we're just going to do what Jesus did and walk about our day, go see a person that is in need and do what we can to help them. Sunset Terrace. We're doing what we can to help people. I guess we could feed 5,000 people if the Holy Spirit willed that, but that's not super likely. But we can go and we can feed 130 people or however many people live around the area with some sandwiches and stuff, and that can be our way of showing them Jesus and showing them the love of Christ. And then we have a great story to tell whenever we're at work, and then we can bring up Jesus in a conversation to where people can ask questions, or we can just tell people about Jesus and plant seeds and stuff. So, that did go quick. I'm trying to think. Yes. I didn't really have a whole lot today. I'm not a super long speaker, so Rusty had a bet in class that I wasn't going to go that long. He was right. But, I mean, this is such a, like, we don't really need a lot of words about this. Like, we've all heard countless sermons, countless Wednesday night devotionals or anything preached about, like, hey, you need to go tell people about Jesus. But we never go and do it. We always are just, like, told about it. Like, hey, go do this, go do that. It's important to tell people about Jesus, but no one ever tells us how as much. And there are definitely some that tell us how, the Roman road, three circles, that kind of stuff. But I just want to offer you a different way of doing it. Up to you if you want to do it. You can talk about at your Sunday lunch how the person that preached this morning, he had some weird ideas, and we're just going to not do it. But you're still talking about Jesus, so that's a win in my book. But as you go just into the rest of your Sunday, as you go to lunch, as you go into the rest of the work week, or not work week if you're a student, but you go and you can just tell people about your story and what you've learned and what you've seen and what you've heard about Jesus and about just Jesus things, like church and mission trips and that kind of stuff, to where people just hear a little bit about Jesus, because a little bit about Jesus every day ends up being a lot about Jesus after a certain amount of time. So, yes. Thank you. Now you can go to lunch early, and then all the people won't be tired of hearing about church stuff, and you can tell them about church. So, if you would like to pray with me, I hope you would. God, thank you so much just for who you are. God, the fact that we can have a relationship with you, God, is such a beautiful thing. We're so thankful that Jesus died on the cross for us, God, and that we've been given this great commission, God, to tell people about you and just to have a relationship with them. God, that it isn't just us telling them about you, but us having good conversations where they are receiving and also telling us things. God, that we're able to honor you in that. God, I pray as we go into this week that you would give us opportunities to talk about you. God, that we would have gospel conversations that aren't exactly normal, God, but they would be honoring you, and that you would just give us the words to say in that. That we wouldn't be stressed out or worried about it, but God, that we would just honor you in that, and that we would you would multiply the kingdom this week. God, I thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.